journey.
Been a little sick the last couple of days anyway.
Okay, you're summarizing.
You're summarizing.
I have one more question, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry, we were going with you.
So these four lots here, they have the orange trees on them. So when they're sold off and the houses are built, they're individual lots. Does your CCNRs, for example, if we wanted to lease out to Citrus Company B to manage that, can this homeowner say, you know what, I don't like Citrus Company B, I don't want them on my land? And by the way, I'm thinking of taking the orange trees out because there's too many bees.
No. The CCNRs, the Ag Preserve Area is going to be managed by the Homeowners Association, not by the individual owners, and they will have control of the wells, and we've done that intentionally because we don't, that ensures that the Homeowners Association complies with the conditions that you put on us that the Ag Preserve remain indefinitely.
Okay. So the Homeowners Association, all of the orange hatched areas that were the Ag Preserve on the individual lots, the Homeowners Association essentially has authority on those areas and not the individual homeowner.
Correct. Okay, yeah, that not only authority, but there's actually provisions that we've drafted in the CCNRs mandating that the Ag Preserve remain indefinitely because that's what you're requiring in the
right.
conditions.
And then just one last question. Again, in these areas, so some of them are currently planted with young trees, some of them aren't, but let's just use a lot down here, for example, and they had an Ag Preserve. Decided that, I mean, could you put a putting green in there, or could you put a lawn bowling, or could you put a, you know, a bocce ball court, or
in the Ag Preserve area? No.
Yes.
No, it's absolutely prohibited under the conditions of approval of this map and the maintenance agreement with the county requires us to keep that as an Ag Preserve area indefinitely.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Day.
So on that last question, because Mr. Norby raised that earlier, and I'm trying to make sure I understand his point, it sounds like what he's saying is the conditions of approval may require maintenance as agriculture, but that doesn't force you to plant trees. So it prohibits you from building buildings or putting things in there that are non-agriculture, but it doesn't say you must plant a tree or other forms of agriculture. Is that correct?
No, not the way I read it. The maintenance agreement requires us to keep that and preserve it as agriculture, so we'd have to have agriculture in there.
Okay, but agriculture could be grass, right?
Grass, but
so I'm trying to understand his concerns so we can perhaps give more certainty to
in the real world. The stuff that we've done now is critically important for the long-term success of the agriculture out there because and we did it for a reason. These young trees need to mature because they are going to be profitable in the marketplace, which is going to encourage in the Ag Preserve area is going to ensure you can keep it. And outside is going to encourage the owners to do so. Now, remember the two big costs of ag? I'm sorry, I may not be directly answering your question, but I'm trying to. The two big costs of ag are electricity and water. In this situation, we have actually structured the ag that remains, the 58.5 acres, so that it can be served with our five wells so that people, because water is a key breaker on agriculture. So we've actually structured this preserve in all of these areas and the remaining ag so that it can be served with our existing five wells so that we have a source of water. And remember that water will be controlled by the Homeowners Association. And we have directed the association to make that available to them at an inexpensive cost so that we can ensure that the ag, I mean, ultimately, you know, the way you get ag to be preserved out here, you can write all kinds of things as mandates, but in the real world, it's a byproduct of having good healthy trees that are marketable and sellable, having an ag manager on the site, which we've committed to in our CCNRs, and making sure you have water and electricity. And we do at a cheap cost. So that's really, it's the economics of it that are the most important.
Okay, did you finish up, sir?
Sure, I was done unless there's any questions by the commissioners.
No, thank you very much.
I think there was. The staff did tell me, Mr. Chairman, that there's a bit of a clarification they'd like to give to the question you had, Commissioner Reese, on the numbers.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Commissioner Reese, through the chair, I think we figured out the confusion with that chart and whether the roads were taken out or not. Upon looking at figure...
I wasn't looking at the chart. I was looking at the narrative on page 22 dash whatever that was.
Right. The narrative mm-hmm. is reflecting the chart.
Okay.
And I think they're both somewhat confusing because there's a chart on top of a chart, whereas on figure 2.21, there's two charts, and it kind of looks like they lead to each other, which is also how the narrative reads, whereas the first chart is exclusive of the below chart, where the top chart that cuts out the roads, driveways, and pads ends up with a 58.5 number, which is all the land that won't be developed. So that was kind of a starting number of where we started with in order to calculate the PEC soils and whatnot. So hopefully the connection of those charts gets to a better understanding, the separation of those two.
John, can I follow up with a question?
Go ahead.
So I don't does the 55.8 include or exclude the roads?
It excludes it.
Excludes the roads. So the roads are another impact that are not subtracted yet.
No, that's incorrect. The 52.8
includes
acres minus 25 roads minus the leach fields equals 58.5
I see.
Land that's left.
If I might address that.
No, I'm going to go through a whole series of questions, so we'll see how it works out.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe you closed public testimony, and there was one more speaker that wished to speak.
And we would ask you to be very brief, please.
Can you hear me? Okay. Well, I like to go to before and after pictures here, the big picture.
Well, we'd like for you to state who you are first.
Carl Meyer, 24562 Potrero, California. This is that one example that is in Ramona Ag Zone 19, 1994. Let me go that up. There it is. Ramona, that's about, that was a citrus grove, Ramona. 1994, 2 acres, 2010, there went the grove. There's maybe an oak tree right there. Here's a project here. And Bonzo. This the western part, southern part, this is the northern part. Notice this this parcel here, I think it's one, it's the beginning of some groves. Notice this area in this area, in the northern part, and this is 1994, here's the parcels. Now we go to 2010. As you see, this area has been basically impacted by your 2 acre estate agricultural areas. The parcels where it's commercial, the project site, commercial, viable commercial operation, 93 acres is basically still intact. This is wasn't a grove, it's gone now. There's a tree, there's a home there. This is a nursery right there, but this area is impacted. This area is basically still intact, but you can see it's larger than 2 acres. I would say that's at least 6 acres there. The reality of a 2 acre citrus farm. I also would like to add, this is from the agricultural conversion study, their own consultant, TRS consultant. Page one, furthermore, the 5 wells on site will be within agriculture open space easements and will be operated by the homeowners association if enforced. Go down outside the agriculture open space easements. Existing agriculture that is not directly impacted by the project may continue on each lot at the new property's owner discretion. So if you get, and speaking the truth, you got 93 acres of the project site. The easement's on 22 acres, and at the most, 8 acres is have leach fields on those 8 acres of the 22. That leaves 71 acres to be converted. There is no protection on that, on the rest. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. At this point, I'd like to...
Sorry to interrupt, but I never got it. We were having our rebuttal. I'd ask
on the mic. Come to the mic. For
talk to you in response to what...
Yes, you're going to respond to that very briefly.
Right? All right, thank you. We actually looked at this issue both locally and regionally, and it's actually in the EIR for the project. On a local basis, we studied an area that is 727 acres around this project site, and of that, 88.8% is mixed residential and ag. It has been so for 25 years. The ag report of the county, the crop report of the county, demonstrated for the 10-year period from 1998 to 2008, ag land increased by 81%, or about 140,000 acres. That's a comparison of the 1998 versus the 2008 crop report. So, and the crop reports of the county every year document that successful farming is done in this county on 1 to 9 acre parcels. And the reason they are is because, as I said to you the last time, they're subsidized by the homeowners, and that's what makes them work. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, I close public testimony. Commissioners, we have Commissioner Beck speaking first, and then Commissioner Day.
Okay, these are questions of staff. I'd like to start with a handout that we got at the last hearing from Mr. Drowns, who actually does not oppose the project, but he raised some issues related to the roads and guardrails and safety issues, and I'd like to know where those are. This is the handout I'm referring to with the truck on its side. And the issues, I think, are revolving around the fact that there are exceptions to county road standards that are part of this staff support for the project. Is that an accurate statement? Are there road standard exceptions?
Commissioner Beck, through the chair, there was an exception for sight distance at an intersection, which we can explain.
Okay, that'd be good.
Commissioner Beck, through the chair, yeah. Edson State Department of Public Works. With regard to the picture that you're alluding to or that you've shown, for that segment of Via Ararat, there is an exception request for the road widths. Typically, it would be a 24-foot wide improvement width. In this case, an exception request was processed, and 22.5 feet of width would be required, as well as the installation of a curb on the westerly side of the road to kind of prevent, to kind of create a buffer, as well as the existing poles to be set back as far as they can within the easement to provide a little more safety. Now, as we understand, the private engineer actually met Mr. Drowns on the site recently, and the picture, for clarification, that wasn't caused by two trucks passing each other. Apparently, the vehicle that overturned actually had parked on the side of the road, and the road actually kind of, I guess, gave way a little bit on the west side, and that caused the overturn. With the installation of the private road, that's going to be meeting the compaction standards that are required to carry vehicles, so that should not occur.
So the real exception is just a foot and a half width?
That's correct.
And in this picture, is that pole within the 24 foot, the 22 and a half foot, or is it inside of that, or do you know? And it sounds like you're fighting the cold, too.
Yeah, yes. I believe that it's going to be a little bit inside the 24 feet, and that's the reason why for the reduction.
Oh, that's why the exception is.
Correct.
Because of the existing
that
poles.
Pole line extends the entire way from the property northerly to West Lilac.
Hmm. And so, is this road going to be improved?
That's correct. To the minimum 22.5.
And what is it now? Right at that bad spot.
Well, at that location, I think it's probably around 20 feet or so, and that's also in the location of an S-curve, which will actually be straightened out by this project as a requirement of the improvement. So it's actually going to improve that situation.
Okay, and And there's some comment here because that is a downslope there and there's an exception. It's not much, but there's still an exception. So is there going to be a guardrail or is there anything going in
nothing
there?
Nothing precludes the installation of a guardrail at this point. It's going to be looked at when the private engineer actually processes the private road improvements post-discretionary approval. If it meets the requirements for guardrail, which is typically if you've got...
You need an easement for the guardrail, probably,
No, right? The guardrail will actually be within the easement that they have. It'll be adjacent to the road, basically, within an easement. But that won't be determined until they actually do the design and see if the height of the slopes require it.
Yeah, it would seem to me that there's kind of a trade-off here. It seems common sense that I understand why you're saying 22.5 is a minimal exception to a 24-foot standard because of the poles and all of that. But it seems like at the same time, since you've got a downslope there, you could say, okay, we'll go 22.5, but you got to put a guardrail in. Why not?
That probably is not the real reason why, because part of the reason for the exception would also be the existing easements that are currently available to the property owner in order for them to install the road and also have the slopes catch within an easement. I believe that was part of the reason, as well as because of the existing poles.
And whose property is this here?
The west side is going to be opposite of its other private property.
This is a different property. This is not the
correct.
Subject property.
That's correct. They're okay. Actually on the east side.
Okay, thanks, Ed. I appreciate it. Okay, I have some questions now on the adequacy of the CEQA document. I read the Shute Haley letter very carefully a couple times and some of the other legal points that have been made about this thing, and you know, it sounds to me like there's a real issue at that level. So I'd like to go through a couple things just to see if I'm understanding things correctly. Well, I'd like to start with a quote from staff this morning that said, let me see, we're not trying to protect agriculture, this is about the soils. That's what I think staff said. And if that's the case, how many units are available? It looks like 24, but or maybe 28. How many units, residential units, are available in the clustered option? I mean, I don't mean to give you busy work and chase around things. It looks like 28. And it looks like 28 with the non-cluster option, which is the project in front of us, or the preferred alternative. Is that mostly correct?
Yes. 33.
Through the chair, Commissioner Beck, the lots, it looks like there's 28 lots are in the cluster. And to address your comment, what was the comment?
About the soil.
In the county's agricultural guidelines, the agricultural resource is considered the soils, because without the soils, nothing grows.
Okay.
And that's why we talk about soils primarily.
Okay. And so the clustered proposal had 28 units. How many does the proposed project have?
Through the chair, I should say my name is Dennis Campbell with DPLU. Nobody corrected me. Commissioner Beck.
That was a slip.
Commissioner Beck, there are 28 lots in the proposed project as well.
Okay, so both projects have 28 lots. One of them has most of the placentia soils, which you say is the primary purpose of the staff's position with regard to soils and mitigation and avoidance and all that. And the other one doesn't. So why isn't staff supporting the clustered alternative?
Commissioner, back through the chair. There were several reasons why we didn't support the cluster subdivision. And on top of the soils being spread out, which...
Timeout. I'm going to challenge you as you go along.
Right.
That's the whole point that I'm making. The soils are not, they are spread out all over the property, but the core placentia soil area is up here, is it not?
Understood. That's why I have more reasons. And And the other reasons why a cluster design wasn't supported is because the community plan this project is under doesn't support lot sizes less than 2 acres. As Marguerite testified and as the sponsor group reiterated, that the community plan specifically discourages lots under 2 acres.
If I had 10 years of testimony regarding community plans and when they get stepped on and when they don't get stepped on, with regard to their policies and positions, with regard to community character and those sorts of things, I think we'd find, I'll be as fair as I can, at least half of the time, those issues are then kind of trumped by another rationale. So in this case, because there's so much intense focus on the soils and on whether or not there's going to be viable ag, and I do believe, by the way, that this project is trying to do that in many respects. But at the same time, a development proposal of homes that are on a couple of acres that could be surrounded by ag use, trees, whatever they want to surround them by, these are not like tract homes that would be like elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder. This is a situation, in my mind, where a completely feasible alternative to protect the primary objective of the staff's position with regard to ag is available, and it's the same number of units. And so all of a sudden, the community plans, and by the way, of course, we've got an effort underway to eliminate planning groups. The community plans are trumping this kind of land use decision, I think, which speaks to the core rationale for what we're considering here and what everybody is proposing is the primary issue in front of us today. So I'm really conflicted over that, but I'm interrupting, so I apologize.
Chairman Beck, Commissioner Brooks.
Not Chairman.
Chairman Brooks, Commissioner Beck, pardon me.
Past
chair. I would add that the mitigation that was provided by the proposed project, the preferred alternative, is adequate. When you're doing an alternatives analysis for CEQA, you need to find a reasonable range, and those alternatives need to reduce a significant impact in an area that the preferred project didn't. In this case, the impact was adequately mitigated, so we believe that the preferred project meets the requirements for CEQA.
Well, that would be good, except for CEQA doesn't say that. CEQA says the first order of priority is to avoid. The second order of priority is to minimize. I'm talking about impacts. And the third priority, if you can't avoid and if you can't minimize, is to mitigate to a level less than significant. This is completely flipping that around, saying we're going to mitigate and then call it even. So I don't read CEQA that way. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Commissioner Beck, through the chair, just the last point that staff wants to make about clustering was that it wasn't just the location of the soils and it wasn't just the community plan. There was compatibility of the immediate area. We looked at a mile radius of these sites and found that no developed site was equal to the alternative size lots, meaning that there wasn't any lot smaller than 2 acres that were also being farmed. So that's why support of the project design was made.
So you're saying that the smaller potential agricultural operations around each proposed development unit is preferable, from an agricultural standpoint, is preferable to having a large block of preserved special soils ag area? That just doesn't jibe in my head very well.
Through the chair, Commissioner Beck, as the area you pointed out up here in the northwest corner, that's actually, there are no PEC soils, placentia soils there. So just so you know, that would be an easement according to the cluster design. That's a total agricultural open space easement, but it's not with the PEC soils. Maybe we could go to that other one. The county's crop report, as well as the agricultural guidelines, state that the guidelines say 63%. The crop report from 2010 says 68% of the farms in the county, and these are economically viable farms, are on lots that are between 1 and 9 acres. And that's because of the cost of water, and that's because of the cost of land. And the crop report even points out that we have a very high value of agricultural production because of that, per acre because of that. And that's why we're saying that these lots on this project are between 2 and 6 acres, and that is right within the 1 to 9 acre lots that the crop report states. And the farmers also live on their lots in San Diego County. And so we expect that many of these lots will be farmed by the owner, or in the case of the PEC soils, by a manager. And that is what is expected, and that happens throughout the North County in Bonzo and Fall River.
Commissioner Norby raised an issue by analogy with habitat preservation, mitigation, that sort of thing, which is something that also clicked in my brain, because if, for instance, as mitigation for an impact, there was a standard that said may, you know, there's no requirement, but it may, as is the case here, these, as a matter of fact, reading from the staff report, it says it's available. It's available for ag use. That would not meet a threshold of assurance that would satisfy any regulation in the habitat world, that's for sure. And so I'm unclear about why that's different here under CEQA. Now, maybe there's something different in people's perception of ag versus biology. I can understand that. But just in the kind of objective, fact-based world of CEQA, theoretically, I'm unclear about why this is available. It's an option for people to do, but there's no assurance that that will happen. Or are you saying that that's not mitigation?
Chairman Brooks, Commissioner Beck, I think the situations are analogous in that for biological mitigation, you preserve the land. There's no requirement that you improve it, that you necessarily restore it. Just like in this case, they're preserving the soils, and it's available for agriculture. And again, I'd point out that there's no current obligation that the property owner farm the land.
Understood.
So we don't think that we would have the ability to require future landowners to farm it. All we can do is require that the resource be preserved and be available for agriculture.
And could you clarify again for me what can be done on these lands? So somebody, you said that somebody could not turn them into, this is the ag open space area, it couldn't be turned into lawns and that sort of thing, or could it be?
Sure. Commissioner Beck, through the chair, condition 3 stipulates exactly what can go on in the easement and what is prohibited.
Okay.
It says the easement prohibits all non-agricultural uses, including but not limited to the construction and placement of any residence, garage, and recreational amenities. The exceptions to this are wells, clearing for ag purposes, fuel management, construction and maintenance of approved septic systems, and activities necessary to restore agricultural soils after septic systems have been put in. So not only does it prohibit non-agricultural uses, it also stipulates what can go in there. So that agricultural easement does further define that.
Okay, thank you. And then maybe finally, maybe not, I'm not sure. What's the assumption again in the analysis on the area under the leach fields? Does that affect ag, kind of a DEH level consideration or not? I just don't know.
Through the chair, Commissioner Beck, I'm not sure exactly what you're aiming at.
Well, what I'm aiming at is if you've got a leach field that is basically percolating refuse from the residential units, can you plant plants that will be used for as a food source over the leach fields?
Through the chair, Commissioner Beck, yes, actually,
okay.
It's quite good soil for that.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Let me see if I have any other questions here. I appreciate your patience. Oh, this was another CEQA challenge thing. In terms of the soils that were analyzed for impacts under CEQA, was it just the category of soils that were of statewide significance?
Through the chair, Commissioner Beck, our county CEQA guidelines for agriculture, which are the guidelines I've been talking about throughout this presentation, talk about, we rate prime, farmland and farmland of statewide significant soils as the soils to preserve. And so if a property has a majority of those soils, prime farmland or statewide, we would consider that potentially a significant or important agricultural resource.
And okay, that confused me more. So how much of this property has soils that are considered significant under the county guidelines?
Through the chair, Commissioner Beck, approximately 27.6 acres.
And that's just the placentia soils, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Okay, I think that answers all my questions. Yes.
I'll still give you an opportunity after Challenger finishes. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to expand on some of Commissioner Beck's comments. Number one, his comment on this potential elimination of sponsor or planning groups. I don't think anyone has brought up the option of eliminating in any way sponsor or planning groups in the community, and for some reason that seems to be out there inciting panic in the community, but it's certainly not true.
And I appreciate you calling me out on it. I just couldn't help myself.
And likewise, I couldn't help clarifying the record.
It's in between two commissioners that neither can help themselves.
Number two, I think the true analogy of preservation of the agricultural soils is the preservation of habitat. We certainly preserve the habitat, but we don't plant gnatcatchers or birds or animals there. Likewise, we're preserving the soil, but we don't condition that they have to plant plants there. So I think that's the true analogy of the protection of the asset. I do feel that this project really does meet the goals of preserving and encouraging and making viable agriculture in these quasi-urban areas. There's projects throughout California, and I'm sure we've all heard of them, where they, particularly in wine country, have overlaid residential uses with propagation of grapes, and it is a very good use of land and really does make both uses viable, and they're very synergistic. So I just wanted to make those comments. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Commissioner Day and then Commissioner Reese.
I just had a quick question. Commissioner Beck raised the issue about the cluster alternative. So, Mr. Peltzer? I'm just curious if you have any response to, do you care which alternative?
I think we do on that one, and the reason we do is because, we vetted this for over several years with that community, and we've gone around there. What the staff told you is correct. All the houses around that area, 2 acres or above, if we're really going to preserve agriculture there, we need to maintain that. I mean, if that's the only way I can get support from this commission, would we consider it? Yeah. But do I think it really is the most effective way to do what I'm hearing a majority of you wanting to do? It's just to preserve the ag? No, I don't. Because what's going to happen in those smaller lots is most likely the owners are going to use more of those lots, and therefore it's far less likely that agriculture survives. And I think when we actually looked at it and analyzed it from an agricultural standpoint, you end up losing more agriculture with that. About 10 acres more of agriculture is actually lost. Even though you put more in this preserve area, you actually end up with about 10 acres less. So And it isn't going to work with the pattern of development in the area. There's just no question. I mean, every lot we looked at around that area, they're 2 acres or above. So we tried to make sure that we had these large enough to preserve agriculture and were consistent with the pattern of development to make it a good neighbor.
At our last meeting, we had Mr. Staley, I believe it was. Is that correct? Is he here today?
Yeah.
Jerome, can you come forward? I understand Mr. Peltzer's point about the community, and I'm trying to balance that with Mr. Beck's. So I guess what this really boils down to is you're the expert in the agricultural industry and the farming operations. So I just need to understand if that's, from your perspective, the cluster development is going to be better for or worse for the agricultural operations that you envision on this property?
Well, I haven't seen the map for the cluster, but what I will speak for is that I do a lot of management on small lots, which are 3, 4, 2 acres, up to 10, 12. I actually own 10 acres next door that I only farm 5 of it because it's in pads and things. And it's profitable. That's the great thing about our area. It's not profitable to do alfalfa, but it's profitable to do trees. 1 acre, 2 acres, you can still make the same amount of money per acre if you farm it right, and it works in this area. That's the unique thing about us. And this soil thing that keeps coming up is a real concern for me, and I can't stop talking, thinking I'm back there just ready to scream. These are trees. That soil thing that this state is all about is for grow crop farmers. Some of my best groves are in the crappiest soil. And it's because we're growing different kinds of trees. And so this soil thing that are on these maps, it's people sitting in bureaucratic positions going, this is the soils. If I'm farming Imperial Valley, if I'm farming Central Valley, it matters. I'm farming trees. And so I know that growth and where that best soil is. It's not actually my best trees on that farm. I farm that farm now. So on the clustering thing, I can't speak because I haven't seen the map. But if you have 1 acre, they're not going to farm.
Okay.
And you have that bigger area, yeah, it will farm. But the 1 acre, they're not going to farm half an acre.
Okay. You answered my question, and I'm glad you came up because your family is well-known in the county, so I appreciate
thank you.
That. Well, I'm comfortable, Mr. Chairman. I'm ready to make...
We also recognize that you were not speaking of this group as the...
No, I'm talking about the soil thing.
Okay,
Thank you for the clarification.
No, actually, in my other world, I can relate to what you were just talking about. And that's very interesting that in reality isn't what the real kind of plant issue is out here. So this area up here, which this is the core area that would be preserved in a cluster development.
Right.
And it's also the area that's reflected in one of the slides, I believe, that showed where they planted new trees?
Part of it is new trees, and we have new trees on the other side.
Yeah, so is that a good area for trees? And why wouldn't that be a more efficient use of farmland?
Because actually it's north-facing over there.
Because what?
It's north-facing. It's not as productive. In tree farming, you want south-facing. And actually, most of the areas are in south-facing, and we did replace all the areas in the ag preserves with new trees because I said, if you want to make this viable, no homeowner association is going to spend the money, and they're just going to be losing money. We got to put in new trees, and they did it. And we got to make this thing profitable. And tangerines, nobody eats, some of us do, eat Valencias and navels, but kids don't. We're raising a generation on tangerines, so we're growing tangerines. So, I mean, I want to be profitable because I'm going to be there for 25 years. They may not be, but I will be, and I got to farm it.
So. And so are you going to be the land manager?
Well, I hope so. I mean, obviously, I'm right next door. My operation's right next door, and I would like to be. And as long as they own it, I'm sure I will be because we have a really good working relationship.
Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, I'm comfortable to make a motion to support staff's recommendation. I believe there's an errata sheet, is that correct, to incorporate that as well?
I'll second that motion.
There's been a motion by Commissioner Day and second by Commissioner Pallinger to accept staff's recommendation with the errata sheet attached. In the discussion? Commissioner Norby, then Commissioner Reese.
This is a tough issue for me, so before I cast my vote, I want to make sure that what I heard from Mr. Peltzer that staff agrees with. What I heard from Mr. Peltzer is that the Homeowners Association is going to manage the ag land that are on these, that are orange hatch, that are on the individual parcels, and that the individual parcel owner is essentially subordinate to the Homeowners Association and their wishes in those areas regarding ag. So I want to be clear on that, number one, because the issue that I have is parcelization and then having, you know, 28 bosses instead of one boss on the ag land. I do believe that the Homeowners Association is somewhat analogous to a conservation group that takes care of habitat land, that they're going to take care of this farmland, do so in their best interest. And I'm more comfortable with that than I am, you know, the 28 individual homeowners. That's number one. Number two, we have this issue of what is in perpetuity and what is at the leisure of the Homeowners Association. And so, obviously, properties change. You have new homes. And I want to make sure that that ag manager runs with the ag, that it's permanent. So it's not at the leisure of the Homeowners Association, that we have somebody actively managing that ag land and can't be changed by the Homeowners Association in the future. Other than that, I'm comfortable with the project.
Thank you, Commissioner Reese.
Sure. Thank you.
Oh, wait a minute. A response, staff. Sure. Thank you.
Commissioner Norby, through the chair, staff would like to respond on both those issues. The county cannot require a homeowner association. We don't feel like that strengthens the situation out there. Homeowner association could vote themselves out of power, and it's a private organization. So
I understand that
is not a requirement in the condition.
If I could respond to that issue, that's exactly my concern, that the Homeowners Association has said that they'll have an ag manager for 10 years. That is at the will of the Homeowners Association. They can't control that. What I'd like is this project to be conditioned by this panel to have an ag manager, not by the Homeowners Association.
And the way that it's important to us to understand the condition. The condition does require an ag maintenance agreement. It also requires the applicant to bond for 10 years of the cost of maintenance, but it does not strictly require a homeowner association, but it does require that maintenance.
Not my point.
We're prepared to agree in the maintenance agreement with the county that agreement, they might not be able to technically, legally condition us to do that, but if we agree to do it, then they can. And we're just fine with that because our CCNRs already have an ag manager forever and ever. So I'm fine having them add that, and we'll consent to that.
Appreciate that.
Mr. Peltzer, what would the language be that I would add to my motion?
It would be that the maintenance agreement with the county for the ag preserve would be modified to include a requirement that the Homeowners Association maintain an ag manager in perpetuity for the ag preserve.
So I would modify my motion of approval to include that language.
Does the second?
He does.
Let me do this. The motion has been amended by Commissioner Day and second by Commissioner Pallinger.
I heard staff say that they couldn't I think we can still get there just by conditioning the project as a condition of approval by the commission. That's what I think we should be doing. Instead of requiring as a condition of approval that the Homeowners Association do something. It sounds like there's a distinction with a difference there. Or does staff feel that the motion, as Mr. Peltzer, or the condition, as Mr. Peltzer expressed it, is something that is implementable by the county?
Commissioner, back through the chair. Certainly we can add a condition to require an ag manager aside from any reference to an HOA.
Okay, so that's what I heard, that Mr. Peltzer was saying that we would condition the HOA, and you're saying we can't condition the HOA.
That's correct. We would condition it to require an
We are conditioning the project.
Right.
Okay.
Commissioner Reese.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very briefly, one of the staff statements a few minutes ago, they surveyed the area, and the problem was they found no two-acre parcels that were in agricultural. And yet what we're doing is creating two-acre parcels for agriculture. Is there something wrong with the conclusion that we're reaching?
3.5.
No, but in the area that we're working in here, how many of these lots are 2 acres or so? In effect, what we're doing is we're saying we're going to create something that won't work. That's just responding to the staff statement. The other one is the language in the easement itself. You said it was quite restrictive. I thought, from my standpoint, it was not very restrictive. The restrictions are narrowly construed against the one who holds the easement and in favor of the one who owns the property. The described easement does not make it that restrictive, what I got, the guy who builds this thing could, owns one of these things, could actually put a pitch and putt course on there and mow it all nice and level and call it agricultural, and you have little, all he'd have, the only development he'd have, a little, couple little holes now and then for the golf balls to go into, and have, call it agriculture. And I don't see how that would violate your easement. Because there's no construction, there's no buildings, there's no watering, there's no nothing, just grass, lawnmowers, and that's it. Anyway, that's my two cents worth on it, and I still don't like the EIR. Thank you. Good day.
I had a couple of things remaining that I'd like to make a statement on. Over and above what my colleagues have already suggested we add to it. It's my understanding that Mr. Gubler's property, the drainage that exists now, we won't do anything to make it worse. And that in the past, I've been always pleased that we've done things to even make it better. But we're saying what this project does is does not make it worse. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. You just wanted to make sure. Again, you guys have been good about even making those conditions, changing them where they are much better. The other thing is I'm satisfied with what you did on the road, what this project would do with the road, especially straightening out the S-curve and then the truck. And today we learned that the truck was sitting there. It wasn't a moving vehicle that turned over. So personally, I'm pleased with those two areas. There been no further discussion. Please vote on the motion. By a show of hands.
Aye.
Commissioner Reese? Oh, that's all right. I know it, you don't do that when it's a male council. Anyway, what's your pleasure on the motion?
What I'd like to do is divide the CEQA issue first. If we don't certify the EIR,
you're going to vote yes or no on the...
On
the motion that's forward.
On the motion forward, I can't vote because that includes voting in favor of the EIR.
It does.
So you're going to abstain?
I will have to abstain because I can't vote.
Okay. So the voting results will be Commissioner Norby, Commissioner Day, Commissioner Pallinger, Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Beck voted in favor of the motion with Commissioner Reese abstaining and Commissioner Woods absent. Thank you. You guys need another quick break before we get in these other two?
No.
You need to? Okay. Okay. We're going to take a real quick break.